from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Anya Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo departs for Sydney to attend ASEAN-Australia Special Summit. President Joko Widodo says Indonesia ranks second among most attractive investors. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo left for Sydney on Friday to attend the 2018 ASEAN-Australia Special Summit. The President and his entourage departed from Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Force Base in East Jakarta. The summit will discuss strengthening economy partnership and eradicating terrorism in Southeast Asia region and Australia. On the summit's sidelines, President Joko Widodo is also scheduled to have a bilateral meeting with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. Following the meeting, the President will also attend a CAO forum and a conference on counter-terrorism. After visiting Sydney, President Joko Widodo will continue his working visit to Wellington, New Zealand, and meet the country's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. The President's visit to New Zealand will mark the 60th anniversary of Indonesia-New Zealand diplomatic relations. President Joko Widodo has stated that based on the U.S. News and World Report survey results, Indonesia is in the second place among the world's most attractive countries for investment destination. Speaking in the presence of General Bank leaders of Indonesia who gathered at the State Palace in Jakarta on Thursday, the President said that the survey method was conducted by the U.S. magazine by interviewing 21,000 respondents to make a ranking and selecting 6,000 executive decision-making respondents. He also disclosed that the criterion for the investment is the trend instead of the condition. The President believed that Indonesia would be trusted more by international investors because of the improved trend experience in the country. Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI will again hold Indonesia Science Expo ISE in Tangerang, Banten in November 2018. ISE is one of LIPI's efforts to introduce research results from Indonesian researchers and investors. This was stated by Head of Public Relations Bureau of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Nurtri Aris, in a special interview to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta recently. Nurtri Aris said that in next ISE, the world's researchers will meet together to share experiences in research.
This is the event that we can interact with other, we can discuss scientifically, we can discuss not only the findings, and the most important is we really give the opportunity to interact with the industrial sector.
In addition, Nurtri Aris said that people will be able to see firsthand outcomes of technological research and various innovations. She expects the industrial sector to be interested to establish cooperation by using the results of research into industrial products. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia Rusdi Kirana said that his side wants to enhance tourism cooperation between Indonesia and Malaysia in a bid to increase tourist visits from potential countries such as China and Australia. He doesn't want Indonesia to regard Malaysia as a potential market only and vice versa. This was disclosed by Ambassador Rusdi Kirana after witnessing Wings Air's inaugural flight ceremony from Pontianak, West Kalimantan to Miri, Sarawak, Malaysia at Miri International Airport on Thursday, March 15. But the important thing is that we want to try Malaysia-Indonesia. Indonesia should not only consider Malaysia's market, and Malaysia should not also Indonesia's market. But we are trying to collaborate together into a third country. So we have hope there is a joint venture such as promotion, dance performances and culture, the purpose to trade and tourism. So if we look at geography, Indonesia's right here and Malaysia's above, on top of Malaysia, it's China. Thus, if Chinese tourists come to Malaysia and to Indonesia, this is so cheaper. There are two options. On the same occasion, Ambassador Rusdi Kirana also explained that some examples of tourism cooperation can be implemented by Indonesia and Malaysia. The types of tourism cooperation are like between Kinabalu City and Manado, North Sulawesi, Miri and Yogyakarta, Penang and Silangit, North Sumatra. In addition, he added that with the cooperation, the relationship between Indonesia and Malaysia will be more harmonious. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The opening of direct flights Wings Air from Pontianak, West Kalimantan to Miri, Sarawak, Malaysia, or vice versa, may potentially increase tourist arrivals to Indonesia, both from Sarawak, Malaysia, and Brunei Darussalam. In his press conference at Miri International Airport on Thursday, March 15, Consul General of Indonesian Embassy in Kuching, Sarawak, Malaysia, Jahar Gultom, said that in 2017, tourist arrivals from Sarawak to Indonesia, especially West Kalimantan, have increased after several airlines opened a flight route from Sarawak to Indonesia without having to transit first in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
On West Kalimantan side, in 2017, the tourist visit from Sarawak increased significantly to more than 27% from 32,261 people in 2016 to 40,917 people in 2017. This is the highest tourist number recorded from Sarawak to West Kalimantan within the 10 years. This 27% growth was the result of more airlines that opened their route from Pontianak to Sarawak and vice versa.
For West Kalimantan side, in 2017, the tourist visits from Sarawak increased significantly, reaching more than 27% from 32,261 people in 2016 to 40,919 people in 2017. This is the highest tourist number recorded from Sarawak to West Kalimantan within 10 years. This 27% growth was the result of more airlines that have opened their routes from Pontianak to Sarawak and vice versa, such as Air Asia, Express Air, and now Wings Air. Jahar Gultom further said that with the addition of direct flights routes from Indonesia to Sarawak or otherwise, it is expected that cooperation of related stakeholders between Indonesia and Malaysia can be improved. One of them is by cooperating between travel bureaus and other business sectors such as plantation, wood processing, and various other industries in Sarawak, which may involve many workers from Indonesia. The Ministry of Trade will implement strict import rules through border and post-border inspection schemes due to some business players still attempt to disobey rules without receiving approval from one of the authorized ministries. Director General of the Ministry's Foreign Trade, Oke Nurwan, noted in Surabaya East Java on Thursday that the border and post-border inspection schemes are established by the government to sort commodities and conduct inspection in a bid to facilitate the process of distributing the products from the harbor to the country's markets. During the opening of an event to raise awareness and offer coaching on simplification and shift in inspection of imports from border to post-border areas, Oke Nurwan said that enactment of the regulation is aimed to create a conducive business climate, especially for the raw material industry. He also stated that enactment of the rules is meant to simplify the earlier rules. And the last item, the Finance Ministry says that the government's foreign debt rose to 4.034.8 trillion rupiah by the end of February 2018, but it dismissed default on repayment. Director of Strategy and Portfolio of Financing, Snyder Siahaan, said in Jakarta on Thursday that there is no cause to be much worried about the default. He also disclosed that the government's foreign debt ratio is still in a safe level at 29.24% of the gross domestic product GDP. It is well below the maximum level of 60% of the GDP as regulated under the State Financial Law No. 17, year 2003. Giving an illustration, he said, in 2018, state revenues are estimated to reach 1,894 trillion rupiah as against government's debt of 4,034 trillion rupiah, and that the government has 9 years before the debts are due for repayment. He added that the government would need to set aside 450 trillion rupiah for the debts every year. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo departs for Sydney to attend ASEAN-Australia Special Summit. President Joko Widodo says Indonesia ranks second among most attractive investors. And listeners, that was the news from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary. Today's commentary is on Russian-UK diplomatic crisis. British Prime Minister Theresa May announced plans for the expulsion of 23 Russian diplomats in a speech to Parliament on last Tuesday, March the 13th. The allegations for them are quite serious, Russia spies. The move is the biggest action taken by UK within 30 years. Prime Minister May decided to take firm action because she considered Russia would not clarify its involvement in the attempted murder of former Russian agent living in Britain, Sergei Skripal, and his daughter Yulia, using Novichok poison known used to be produced in the Soviet Union. In addition, Prime Minister May also decided to halt all royal officials' visit to Russia, including for watching the 2018 World Cup match in Russia. Obviously, this is not a trivial accusation. The challenge for Prime Minister Theresa May is to prove what she alleges is true. Russia, through its Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov's statement, clearly denied British accusations of masterminding attacks on Sergei Skripal. The rebuttal was also delivered by Russian ambassador to the United Nations, Vasily Nebenzia, who considered the attack to be a provocation against Russia ahead of the World Cup and presidential election. Russia must prove that Russian side is clear of involvement in the attack. However, before the investigation is complete, Russia has threatened to also expel British diplomats in Russia. In this regard, England is not alone. The British ally, the United States, also opened the issue in the official UN forum on Wednesday, March the 14th, after Britain urged a meeting of the United Nations Security Council. The United States considers that Russia is responsible. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, called for Russia's accountability, and President Donald Trump asked Russia to respond. The United States had also expelled Russian diplomats some time ago. Hopefully, the British investigation can reveal the case and explain whether there are any involvements of other countries. Britain could have expelled Russian diplomats, but Russia could also retaliate. Expelling its other diplomats is, of course, causing more problems instead of solving it. Well, that was commentary on Russian-UK diplomatic crisis. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We begin with an event which occurred on March 16, 1968, when the mass murder by U.S. soldiers occurred in South Vietnam. U.S. soldiers killed 200 up to 500 village residents of My Lai 4 in the north of South Vietnam. The My Lai 4 village is located in an area which was often infiltrated by Viet Cong insurgent group, and many U.S. soldiers were killed in the area. On March 16, 1968, Lieutenant Kelly and his troops came to village to launch Operation Search and Destroy. However, they found women, children, and elders only. Then the U.S. soldiers channeled their anger by killing the unarmed people. The mass murder ended after an American pilot named Hawk Thompson landed his helicopter between American soldier and village residents. This incident was first concealed, yet 1 year after that it was revealed and military investigation was held. Lieutenant Kelly was sentenced to life, although pardoned later and jailed for several years only. The next event is that in 1978, Amoco Cadiz supertanker sunk. U.S. Amoco Cadiz supertanker, which was sailing to Rotterdam, faced problem on 9:45 GMT. Previously, the helmsman had warned the captain that the steer was damaged. Finally, on March 16, 1978, the ship was out of control and sunk into the waters of Port Salle Rocks, 30 meters from the coast of Brittany, France. More than 200,000 tons of crude oil spilled and polluted the waters. While 42 crews of Amoco Cadiz were saved before the ship sunk. Around 360 kilometers of the coast and 200,000 hectares of the sea were estimated to be contaminated by the oil spill. Finally, Amoco supertanker captain Pasquale Barderi was taken to court and sentenced for his mistake. We end Today in History with an event of March 16, 2017, Hashim Mozadi passed away. The Nadatul Ulama, prominent ulama or Muslim scholar, Hashim Mozadi passed away on Thursday, March 16, 2017, in his hometown of Malang, East Java. He was 72 years old. The former chairman of the country's largest Muslim organization, Nahdlatul Ulama, died at his residence in the compound of the Pesantren Mahasiswa Al-Hikam Islamic Boarding School after being treated at the La Valette Hospital for 5 days. President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iryana Widodo visited Hashim, a member of Jokowi's campaign team for the 2014 presidential election in Malang. Gay Hashim reportedly suffered from exhaustions after recently visiting Australia for 5 days and visiting several places in Indonesia. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you the topic about Indonesia-Kazakhstan to boost bilateral cooperation. Parliamentary delegation of Kazakhstan visited Senayan Parliament Complex, Jakarta on Tuesday, March 13. The meeting was held to build bilateral cooperation between the two countries in various fields. Chairman of the Indonesian House of Representatives, DPR, Bambang Susatyo, after holding a meeting with a delegation of Kazakhstan, said, "The arrival of the Kazakhstan delegation is an honor for the House." Bambang Susatyo hoped the cooperation between Indonesia and Kazakhstan continues to increase significantly. In the field of legislation, the House has opened the door to help the Indonesian-Kazakh government in increasing investment in each country. According to Bambang Susatyo, entering 25 years of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Kazakhstan, the relations between the two countries continue to run well. Even the two countries have formed the Joint Commission on Economic Cooperation and Bilateral Consultative Forum. It is said this good relationship is an important capital in improving cooperation between the two countries. Particularly in the field of trade, it requested the Parliament of Kazakhstan make it easy for Indonesia to export some leading products that have entered into Kazakhstan, among others, coconut oil, vegetable oil, skin beauty products, and glue. The value of Indonesia-Kazakhstan trade in 2017 reached $52.92 million, more increased from 2016 that only $22.12 million. Meanwhile, Chairman of Kazakhstan Parliamentary Senate Jomart Tokayev welcomed the offer. He also explained that Kazakhstan is currently actively involved in One Belt, One Road system initiated by China, so they have access to cooperation to the port in China. Mr. Kasim Jomart Tokayev considered that Indonesia is a key partner in developing Kazakhstan relationships to various other countries in Southeast Asia. He hoped that through port access in China, it can facilitate the access of Indonesia-Kazakhstan goods export so that it will enhance the trade cooperation between the two countries. In addition to trade, Bambang Susatyo and Kasim Jomart Tokayev also want to strengthen inter-community relations through education, culture, and tourism cooperation. Not only that, Bambang also invited Kazakhstan Parliament Senate to attend the World Parliamentary Forum on Sustainable Development 2018. This is the World Parliamentary Forum initiated and held in Indonesia. The House of Representatives has initiated the World Parliamentary Forum on the development of sustainable development objectives. He hopes in 2018, the Kazakhstan Parliamentary Senate will participate in the similar event. The forum will seek the best solution together to reduce poverty, inequality, and injustice, and address climate change within the framework of sustainable development. That was today's regular My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo left for Sydney on Friday to attend the 2018 ASEAN-Australia Special Summit. The President and his entourage departed from Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Force Base in East Jakarta. President Joko Widodo has stated that based on the U.S. News and World Report survey results, Indonesia is in the second place among the world's most attractive countries for investment destination. Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI will again hold Indonesia Science Expo ISSE in Tangerang, Banten in November 2018. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia Rusdi Kirana said that his side wants to enhance tourism cooperation between Indonesia and Malaysia in a bid to increase tourist visits from potential countries such as China and Australia. The opening of direct flights Wings Air from Pontianak, West Kalimantan to Miri, Sarawak, Malaysia, or vice versa, may potentially increase tourist arrivals to Indonesia, both from Sarawak, Malaysia, and Brunei Darussalam. The Ministry of Trade will implement strict import rules through border and post-border inspection schemes due to some business players still attempt to disobey rules without receiving approval from one of the authorized ministries. And the last item, the Finance Ministry says that the government's foreign debt rose to 4,034.8 trillion rupiah by the end of February 2018, but it dismissed default on repayment. And listener, that was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia. are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you about sorrow expression of Dani tribe. Stay tuned. There are several tribes who inhabit the island of Papua, ranging from Korowai tribe, Asma tribe, Kamaru tribe, and Dani tribe. One of the tribes in Papua that has unique characteristics and interesting is Dani tribe. Dani tribe who inhabit Baliem, Wamena Valley in Papua is indeed known to have a lot of uniqueness, ranging from the typical clothes of Koteka to finger-cut tradition, which is a form of condolence for his family who died. The Dani tribe has its own way of expressing sadness when one member of his family dies. They are willing to cut off fingers, toes, or slicing the earlobe as a form of deep sorrow. The way of mourning among the Dani men is called Nasu Palek, a ritual to cut ears. Because they are still live in hinterland, so that they still find the limitation of facilities. To conduct the tradition of Nasu Palek, they usually used equipment of thinly sliced bamboo without anesthetic. For those who want to cut a finger, it can be used a traditional tool called kapak batu or stone axe. Nasu Palek is not only done by men alone, but the women also follow this extreme tradition. But for the women, prior to implement the tradition of Nasu Palek, they firstly conduct Iki Palin tradition, the ritual to cut off the finger if the mother, father, child, or family died. If the fingers are gone, then proceed to cut their ears. While the men directly conducted the tradition of Nasu Palek. After that, wounded ears is wrapped with medicinal plants. Time goes by. Along with the development of religion, the tradition of Nasu Palek began to be abandoned. And now the government has forbidden to do the tradition of cutting the finger because it is considered less human. However, the traces of the tradition can be seen nowadays through Danish mothers and grandmothers whose fingers are cut off. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sora Expression of Dani Tribe. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome to Miscellany. Today's edition is Tambora Wonderful Festival 2018. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Listeners, on April 12, 1815, exactly 203 years ago, the Tambora volcano on the remote island of Sumbawa, West Nusa Tenggara, erupted so violently. Consequently, thick ash clouds were brought around the world, as is known if the mega eruption of Mount Toba is believed to have plunged the earth into volcanic winter for 6 to 10 years, and the explosion of Mount Krakatau in 1883 produced the loudest sound ever heard in the world in modern history. Mount Tambora volcano eruption also created a global catastrophe at that time. 1 year later, in 1816, it erupted again. In Europe and America, it was remembered as the year without summer, which resulted in the worst season of the 19th century. Its mighty eruption in April 1815 left an impressive 7 kilometers area with a 6.2 kilometers caldera containing two colors lakes with a depth of 800 meters. This caldera is also considered the largest caldera in Indonesia. Currently, scientists recognize the Tambora eruption as the most powerful in the history of volcanic eruptions. Listeners, to commemorate this dramatic event as well as commemorate the anniversary of Dompu Regency Sumbawa Wonderful Tambora Festival 2018 will be held again on 9 until 11 April 2011. The implementation of the festival is the fourth time, and this is centered in Dompu Regency, West Nusa Tenggara Province. In addition to commemorating the anniversary of Dompu Regency and the eruption of Mount Tambora, the Wonderful Tambora Festival 2018 is also aimed to introduce and promote various tourism potentials in Sumbawa Island, especially tourism in Dompu Regency.
Listeners, wonderful Tambora Festival 2018 will be enlivened with attractions of paragliding, folk cultural art, and kebo barapan. A day later, the release of participants of Tambora Challenge 32K, Barapan Chicken, and Culinary Surf in West Sumbawa. Besides, there is also a choreography workshop at Asimbojo, Bima City. Aside from art and cultural performances, Wonderful Tambora Festival 2018 also offers adventure trail, mountain bike, fishing, paramotor, and other activities. Like the previous years, this activity also presents creative economic development, greening of Mount Tambora Forest Area, exhibition of superior products such as Tambora Coffee, Fox Market, and regional culinary feed. Listeners, Head of Tourism Office of West Nusa Tenggara Province, Lalu Fauzal, said that the event is targeted to attract at least 15,000 domestic and international tourists. That was Miss Lani for today with the topic Wonderful Tambora Festival 2018. Sampai jumpa and thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to our regular program, Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present the songs from Bali. Balinese songs are sung in Balinese and Austronesian language from Sundik branch, and more specifically, it's called Bali Sasak language. This language is commonly used in Bali, the western island of Lombok, and slightly on the eastern tip of Java. Well, listeners, let's listen to a song entitled Memori Danau Beratan, sung by Widi Widiana.
Danau Beratan diaman mengenalan rasa membunga rindu di hati kala kewales pangkanya mesra. Danau Beratan ku senja nyidang nang sapa sap mati nakol nang alamat ni kana nitip salam sing mesidaya. Oh, sapa sa mati na konang alamat ni kanang nitip salam sing residaya.
Listeners, as the title suggests, this song tells about memory or recollection in Beratan Lake, one of the tourism objects in Bali. It's a sweet memory when someone first acquainted with someone else. The content of the song is rhythmical and performed well by Widi Widiana. He is one of the male singers from Bali who mostly sings Balinese songs. Listeners, Lake Beratan is so beautiful. Thus, it becomes one of the best and most beautiful lakes in the world. The fact was included in the world's 20 most beautiful lakes, which is published on page www.huffingtonpost.com. Not surprisingly, many people come to visit and carve a beautiful memory there. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Sukreni Gadis Bali. Sari kuning gading warnane kembang emas bungane kebiar-kebiar mulape manis-manis kenyam manis sayu-ayu rupane di kewanta gadis Bali dan yang sutra mabeden bang yang ireng piang kayungane memargi ujung madura sukreni gadis Bali sukreni di sekadi widodari nanging sayang bajang jaga gadis pingitan ada tetua tu idepin dati suputra kalah meliang wadesin Listeners, this song tells about a young man who admires and loves the beauty of a Balinese girl named Sukreni. Unlike Widi Widiana's previous song, the nuance of traditional Balinese music is much felt in this song. The combination of pop genre and musical nuance of the songs makes the songs more comfortable to listen to. Listeners, Widi Widiana is a popular singer among Balinese people. His debut as a Balinese pop singer began in 1994. It was marked by the release of his first album entitled Tunangan Tiang, which is a compilation album with other Balinese pop singers. But in 1991, Widi and Diana Band have pioneered the journey as musical artists. The music group, which consists of Widi's family, usually performs from hotel to hotel. They bring different types of songs ranging from dangdut and pop to reggae. In singing, they use the Balinese language, Indonesian and English. Widi Widiana's first solo album appeared in 1996, entitled Sesapi Putih. The second solo album was released in 1987 with the Sampak Ingtai label. Until now, Widi has released 9 compilation albums and 11 solo albums. His average cassettes were sold over 25,000 copies. Even his album entitled Tepen Unduk or Ketiban Sial was sold over 50,000 copies. Throughout his career in the singing world, Widi had won the title of Best Singer, a version of Bali Music Award. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last songs entitled Surat Pamegat and Uyang Pinaka Sayang by Widi Widiana. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Jatine adi ngirim surat buka kene beli sing rasa ada beli kapining adi ngudiang adi ngemangin surat nyakite limang tiban cu beli uat beli madras nakan nadi dua redaen adi galak buka kekene surat adi ne metulis bentin tebarang yening saja tresna nadi coba luntur kapining bel beli nerima diaskon tresnan beli nekeliwan langgurang adi dumadak nemu bahagia
jadi dua reta en adi galak buka kekene surat adine metulis bentinte parang yening saja tresnan adi subaluntur kapining beli beli nerima diaskon tresnan beli mekeliwan lanturan adi dumadat nemu bahagia yening saja tresnan adi subaluntur kapining beli beli nerima diaskon tresnan beli mekeliwan lanturan adi dumadak nemu bahagia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.